Hello, good evening or good afternoon, wherever you are. Welcome to the latest episode of La Magicast. Sorry, guys, this is the first time I'm doing this. I'm taking over for Scott tonight. So I'm your host, Joey, and we're doing episode 260 tonight, where we'll be reviewing the Roma-Udinese matchup, and also we'll be talking about the incident with Endika. So glad to see that he recovered, he's stabling, and he should be back in Rome either today or tomorrow. But before we get into that, with me, I have actually Dr. Imran is with me, and this is going to give us a good perspective from a doctor's point of view. So I'm glad you're able to join me. How are you, Imran?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for doing this while Scott is preparing for his trip to Rome.
Yeah, he's getting ready to go. He's got the Milan and Bologna game coming up, so he's going to have a good time with it. Those are going to be really intense games when he gets to it. But tonight we'll be focusing on the Roma-Udinese matchup. So Imran, we'll start with the game itself. Poor decision at the start, three-man back line, and we saw basically the same thing over and over when we run that three-man back line. And De Rossi was really, said it last time, like, we don't respond well to it, but he made, I would assume, the wrong decision by running the three-man back line. We'll start with the first half. What did you think of the performance?
I think it was, whether it was the three-man defense or the starting lineup or the high turnover, it's difficult to point to a single reason. I think it's a combination of many factors here, but it was obvious that it was very similar to the Lecce game. It was low intensity. We didn't do... I mean, De Rossi warned against this, but we ended up in doing the same mistakes again. And we didn't manage to have any control of the midfield. There was low intensity. And then, of course, we gifted them the goal through that hauler from Huijsen, which was unfortunate because up until then, I don't think... Udinese had created much, so gifting them that goal made it a bit difficult going into halftime. But it was a poor first half. What did you make of it?
First half, I agree with everything you mentioned. I thought the three-man back line was the wrong choice to make. Again, we don't respond to it. And I will ask you, once I give my thoughts, the lack of intensity, it's the second Serie A away game in a row where we do lack intensity. So it's a little concerning. You know, we have obviously big games coming up and we can't continue to just show up to certain games while not showing up to others. We've got to treat each game equally. So I didn't like the intensity. I didn't like having Huijsen as the middle center back, the one who kind of controls the rest of the defense. I thought that was a very strange decision. I think I understand the decision from a physical point of view. I think he's much more physical than Llorente would be, and maybe it was to stop Lorenzo Lucca from doing anything because he's such a tall, physical striker. So I don't think that was a good matchup for Llorente. I actually thought this would have been a good game for Smalling, especially given that Lucas, like I mentioned, is such a physical striker, but I guess they rested him and maybe they'll start him for Thursday. I don't think they wanted to rush him into too many games right away. But yeah, Huijsen had a howler and a bad first half. Even from an offensive point of view, I thought Lukaku was very, very isolated. He didn't have much to work with. He doesn't have that connection so far with Baldanzi. I think Baldanzi tries, but I don't see much from him. And I know he's young, so it's going to take time. But yeah, that nothing from Zaleski and the lack of intensity from the midfield. Again, it's a worrying concern when we don't have Pellegrini there. So that's certainly worrying. But But you mentioned, obviously, with Huijsen and obviously our lack of intensity, what did you think of his I know there was the howler, but what did you think of his performance, right? Because we don't have an option on him, so this is kind of a decision Mora might have to make if they're able to afford him. What did you make of that first half from him?
It wasn't impressive, and when he committed that mistake, of course that's the highlight of the first half, because it led to a goal. And apart from that, he tried to be calm on possession, to try to be collective back there, but I think that mistake, it was unforgivable, because he had so much time. He thought he had much time, but he took more time than he actually had. And I agree with you that it was probably a bit risky to start him in the center, but at the same time, you can understand. I think that he did start there because, like you said, he was the most physical of the three of them back there to take out Lorenzo Lucca, and he did win some of the defensive challenges in the air, but that made sense. But when you get off to a start like that, I would say start because it was still the first half, it's difficult to bounce back when you're 19 years old. So I think the rest of did the right made the right choice to take him off, because psychologically it could have been difficult for him. Speaking about the option, I don't think this game in itself or the mistake in itself would have any impact on the future, because these things can happen to any player. And I think he's still a very promising defender. And if we can manage to negotiate a fair price where we can keep him permanently, we should do that. But I don't think we should extend the loan, because that would just be like babysitting the guy for Juventus for another season, make him into a better player, and then we will not get any return for it. If there was any, if we would earn something financially, then of course it would make sense. But as it seems now, we're just basically, that's what pharma clubs do for the big, big teams. So I wouldn't. I would sign him permanently. If not, I would just. I wouldn't renew the loan deal for another season.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Remember on Baldanzi. I think it was interesting because these players, Awar, Paredes. Paredes, of course, he's a very proactive player. He takes command in front of the defense. I like his style of play. I think it was good. But Awar and then Baldanzi, to expect them to control the game and be proactive, I don't think they are ready for it. They need more established players around them, because you see Baldanzi in the second strike role or the trequartista role behind Lukaku. He wasn't able to dictate the tempo of the game. He's more like, you saw immediately when Dybala came on, Baldanzi turned into a completely different player. He was much more confident. He managed to link up the one the one touch play with Dybala and other players. So he got, just having Dybala's presence in that game in attack made Baldanzi into a different player. So I think that was an interesting observation, because that could mean that there is potential inside him, but he's not ready to fill that role or that responsibility yet. He needs more time, and he needs to be playing next to a more established attacking player before, hopefully gradually he can be ready to fill that role. Awar was a bit of the same. If you are going to replace Pellegrini, you have to be more proactive. You have to be more proactive in that role where you want to receive possession. You have to be more visible, because, and unfortunately yesterday, he didn't take command of that attacking midfield area. There was no proper presence. I mean, you expect players to be more active when they want to receive possession, more like Paredes was. He's confident in possession. He wants to keep possession. Whereas Aouar, it was more like he didn't want to be responsible. He wasn't confident in the build-up. He was more ready to be present in the final third of the area and to either finish or, he's actually quite effective in the last third when in the cross or when his positioning where he can take rebound and score goals. But he needs to be more confident in creating the chances with possession to be, to lead the attacking phase of the game. And that's why there was such a low intensity. We didn't take command of the midfield when we didn't have Pellegrini and Dybala.
Yeah, I agree with you. Starting with Baldanzi, I think the first half, he didn't have that presence with him to kind of control the game. Lukaku is not the type to do it. Lukaku obviously needs somebody around him to control it, and then he'll be able, obviously, to score. That's what he's there for, but he's not going to be the one to control the game for you. So Baldanzi didn't have that presence, and you brought up a good point with that, Imran. I think, and we're going to get to it. Obviously, that was going to be my point getting into the second half with Baldanzi. I thought he was a lot better when Dybala came in, and Dybala played just behind Lukaku with Baldanzi off the right. It worked out very well. And on Aouar, let me ask you, Imran, because I agree, obviously, with his intensity and being visible. Did you ever see that famous highlight clip of Aouar playing Manchester City in the Champions League?
No.
Okay, I will send it to you. It was one of the best performances he ever had, and Pep Guardiola praised him when he was still with Lyon. If we can get that Aouar, Roma will have such a deeper bench. The ability is there. I think with Aouar, it comes to more of a mental game and learning the league. Because you're right, he does take up good spaces in the final third, but he needs to be more commanding. And I think De Rossi has said it rumoredly in a report in reports that he wants more out of him, more grinta out of Aouar, more intensity out of him. But if you get the Aouar that played against Manchester City, I mean, that will just lift the shoulders off the starters of the midfield that play every single game in, game out. But now you mentioned we mentioned now Baldanzi, Aouar, and Dybala. So we'll get into the second half. I wanted to start off, Imran, what did you think of De Rossi again doing something brave and brilliant, the tactical switch he did in the second half very early to get Roma, try to get Roma back into the game, and which we did with the Lukaku goal. What did you think of that tactical switch?
He had to do it because it wasn't working. So, Karsdorp on the right, and then because essentially he switched to a four-man defense with Dybala behind Lukaku. I think that gave us a lot more presence in the midfield. We were more, and mind you, Udinese weren't that dangerous even in the first half, and even leading up to that point, it was more us being very passive in our build up and in attack. So changing Dybala, introducing Dybala and Karsdorp gave us another, whole different energy, and we looked suddenly much more dangerous than we did, at any point previously, up until that point. So I think it was the right thing to do. Ideally, we would of course preferred not having to be in the situation where you have to play them, because especially Dybala, because you wanted him to be fully fit or have 90 minutes of rest ahead of the Milan game, but that wasn't the case. So yeah, but now he ended up playing roughly 20 minutes after that incident. So what
Yeah,
did you make of that?
I know I was going to say I agree with you. It needed to be done. And De Rossi went very attacking. I don't know if I've ever saw him play in a more more of a 4-2-3-1 formation with Dybala playing just behind Lukaku, and then you had Baldanzi and Zaleski off of the wings, and Cristante, Paredes controlling the midfield. I thought it was a great move by Rossi. I know he had to do it, but he still brought in the right players, because once we scored that goal, that brilliant cross from Cristante and Lukaku, before, which we'll get into all the incident with Ndicka, I don't know about you, Imran, but I thought Roma were going to get a second. I really thought the intensity was there. I truly believe they were going to get a second goal. They were pushing for it, and I think they were sort of pinning Udinese back quite a bit. So they were having a brilliant second half. I thought at first, no, the chances, you're right, but then as soon as we scored, I think it kind of put more energy into them, and I saw a much more motivated Roma to go and score that second, because we all know what the objective is after what's been happening with other teams around Roma in the standings. So they were truly pushing for the second, and they got, like I said, they got that brilliant goal, and then this is where we'll come into, Imran. So I think we pretty much covered the game. I thought we had a decent performance, not the greatest, but then coming into the 70th minute, unfortunately, I'll just run it through for anybody listening. So as of the 70th or 71st minute, I believe, it was Evan Ndicka went down holding his chest. He did have an altercation, basically like a duel with Luca, which was a blow to the chest. So I'll clear that out before. So, but he wasn't sure, and nobody was sure what was going on. Ndicka went down holding his chest, showing that he had pain, and right away they called the medics over. So they called the medics over, and they stretchered him off, and they obviously did some checks which warranted to send him to the hospital. And during the meantime, we had the absolute class of De Rossi, and I'll get to everybody else, but starting with De Rossi, where he felt his players couldn't go on, they couldn't continue, they couldn't go forward the game. They were just thinking of Ndicka, and they respectfully asked for the game to be postponed. And with the I give so much respect to Pairetto, Balzaretti, and Cioffi. I don't think they had a second doubt, and they fully agreed to the match being suspended. It took a few conversations to see what was going on. Daniele De Rossi had concerns, so did some of the players. They went to go see if he was all right, and they came back out, and mentally they couldn't continue the game. I mean, I couldn't. I wouldn't have been able to. I was worried. At first, I was worried because De Rossi's face, you know, kind of worried me a little bit. And so with the class of everyone at Udinese, and obviously the brilliant attitude Roma and both Udinese showed, and even the referees, they made a decision to suspend the game, and rightfully so, which I think they'll pick up another time. So, and from the latest update about Ndicka, he's doing much better. He's stable. Like I mentioned earlier in the pod, he's going to be released. So that was the whole incident. But this is where we want to take a spin at this, Imran, where you're perfect for this, right? Because you're a doctor, and you can give more of the listeners a view of everything you kind of thought of, and what kind of went through your mind while this happened, while this incident. So, I mean, the floor is yours. Let me know the whole thoughts on this, and just give us another aspect, which, you know, the regular viewer doesn't really think of or view when they saw this incident.
Yeah, we'll do it. First of all, it's very scary, obviously, when you have an incident like that. Not just because of his complaint, but because of what we've seen in the past years with Eriksen and several other incidents, players been involved. So it's very uncomfortable for the players, the staff, to have their mind in the right place to continue the game when you have a teammate who's done like that. And there's so much uncertainty around the situation where so it's difficult to continue a football game I completely understand that. Well, of course, my background as a medical doctor, I work with internal medicine and cardiology, so these type of situations and complaints are very common, something I deal with very often. What I mean, contrary to some other episodes where we had on the football field, what made me a bit more calm and relaxed was that he was conscious. That's always a positive sign, because you know that if he's conscious and he's communicating, you don't have any immediate threat to his life. Of course, there could be potentially underlying causes that could deteriorate the whole situation and his condition. But the fact that he was awake, conscious, he was able to communicate, and being lifted out from the pitch, he was able to give thumbs up. This was quite reassuring, I would say. But you know, it's difficult to draw conclusions because you don't have all that information. You're looking at a screen and you have to make up a picture. But having seen patients, you still are able to get an inner feeling whether this is potentially serious or not. I had seen that elbow from Luca on Ndeka's chest. So at first, I thought it was a traumatic chest pain. With traumatic chest pain, of course, you can have a penetrating injury depending on the force of that elbow and how it could impact inner organs. But that's usually, it takes a lot of force, and a lot of the injury mechanism have to be severe for that to cause
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, Imran. Sorry to cut you off, just to ask on that blow to the chest. Isn't it? Wouldn't it be like in a very rare case, especially in a football match?
it has to be a very, you know, dangerous challenge, high intensity, high force challenge, with a bigger, I would say more front to front, for that, a blunt injury for that to cause inner organ damage. So when he got that, of course, he got a blow to his chest, and it can be very uncomfortable, you know, when you get a blow to your ribs. I assume most people have had it, and that can be very uncomfortable. You can even experience, apart from chest pain, you can experience difficulty in breathing, because you can get a small cut, trauma to your lungs. The worst you can think of it in this situation is, of course, some rib injury, a fracture. It ne needs more force, but otherwise, at worst, you can even suspect pneumothorax, which is a collapse of the lungs. But once again, these are potential diagnoses, but some that require a more blunt force. So, but at that point is what it was unclear whether he had collapsed. I mean, when you think of collapse, you think of loss of consciousness, transient loss of consciousness, which is also considered in medical terms called syncope. It was unclear whether he had had that or not. Of course, if he had that, it's a more serious symptom than having just laid down because of chest pain and complained of that. Of course, he was taken off. But then the crowd reacted perfectly, because the medics needed a minute of silence to be able to feel the pulse. And I don't think we've experienced that type of silence and that type of cooperation from the, you know, from in a football. It's very chaotic, we have to remember. But the Udinese fans, they were exemplary, and that helped the medics. And then he was stretchered off. De Rossi was worried because you don't know what's happening at that point. So De Rossi said that, "I don't feel comfortable with this. I need to check on him." That's why he went to the dressing room. There, they took an ECG where you register the electrical activity of the heart. You could do that if you suspect some heart rhythm disturbances, heart attack. It's unusual for a footballer, a healthy athlete in football, to get a heart attack on the field, because usually these a disease which comes with age, where you have an atherosclerotic process of your arteries. Of course, there are different mechanisms, there are different processes which can lead to a heart attack. But if you get that and it's serious, and we have to also distinguish between heart attack and cardiac arrest, because cardiac arrest is when there is no circulation, so basically you're clinically dead. That's what happened with Ericsson. That's why they did the CPR, and they didn't do it here because he was conscious, he had pulse, he had circulation, but he had a complaint. So ECG was inconclusive, meaning that, and it could be because, you know, he just played football, his pulse is high, it's difficult to interpret. So as a precaution, they sent him to the hospital. And when De Rossi got this news, it was very, you know, difficult for him to continue the game. So for the right reasons, it was called off. And at the hospital, they did further tests. You can very, very easily rule out heart attack because you can just do complementary blood tests where you measure cardiac enzymes to rule out myocardial injury of any sort. If those are negative, you can take repetitive tests after 3 and 6 hours, and then you have a definite answer that there has been no myocardial injury. If you've had that trauma to the chest, you feel a bit more relaxed because that is a possible reason for that chest pain. It's a bit more serious if a footballer either faints during physical activity during a football game or gets chest pain, which is unprovoked. Those symptoms would have been, of course, more, which would have required further attention and more concern. But if there is a blow to the chest and you get chest pain, personally, I would feel a bit more relaxed. But that was what we saw. We didn't know what Ndicka was complaining about apart from chest pain. You don't have the details. You don't have any of the vital signs, you know, blood pressure, temperature, pulse, respiratory rate, etc., etc. So I think ultimately they handled it very well. Udinese as a club, the coach, the referee, Balzaretti, but above all De Rossi, because he stood up as a leader, and he sent the right signal to Ndicka as well that this game doesn't mean too much. Football doesn't mean too much. The most important thing for us is the health of a colleague, a teammate. And so it was beautiful to see that they reacted in this way. And afterwards, also, everything that has been said from Udinese as a club, and, you know, the encouraging messages from the other clubs, some fans. There are other fans that have been not responding the same way, but there's always a minority. So for a moment there, it felt really good that people, you know, stood shoulder to shoulder in humanity, which was beautiful to see.
Yeah, it certainly was. Besides some Milan fans on social media, everyone, we know who they are. Everyone came together and really showed their support for Ndicka. And you brought up a very good point. I'm glad you covered all the medical bases, because we discussed this in our chat when we were going back and forth. I was sort of unsure. I mean, I know the codes between yellow, green, and red. And there was that famous report about him having a yellow signal to bring him to the hospital, which got everybody worried. And I mean, you cleared that up, you know, high pulse, he's playing a high intensity game. So I'm glad you're able to give like another take on it, especially in your field of expertise. And one thing that really stood out to me on that from the human aspect was De Rossi being the leader. And that I just, the way he handled it and the way he showed the utmost respect to Ndicka and to that he showed the rest of players is like, you're humans first before footballers. And obviously health is more important than football. And even gathering the team, whether he asked them, he led them or not, I mean, everybody willingly went to the hospital and stayed with Ndicka until they got clearance that he was okay to come back. He was just staying overnight for for further testing just to be safe. But they all went to the hospital right away, every player, and they stuck with him until they knew he was all right, which was just, it was great togetherness, you know, from Roma and from De Rossi leading the charge, leading the group. So even Awar, Imran, I don't know if you saw reports, even Awar asked to be granted access to stay overnight with Indica. Unfortunately, he couldn't. The hospital wouldn't allow it. But he apparently is inseparable from Indica. They're very good friends, and he wanted to stay overnight. It just showed how much they're together as a group and how much they respect each other. So I was so happy to see that, and obviously everything that went on with the good news for Indica of him being all right. So that was great to see. Again, once again, class from Udinese, the referees, the directors, up until De Rossi and the players, just it was a great response all around. Even the fans, you're right, they were silent when they needed to be, and they showed their support as long as all the teams on social media. So I'm glad everything worked out well, in a sense where, you know, there was nothing further worrying with Indica, and he's all right, and he's come back to Rome, and now we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens with the match. I believe, Imran, they were mentioning that they'll try to find maybe a time to do it, and they'll recover the last 20 or so minutes plus added time, and yeah, they'll go from there. So do you have anything more to add for this game in Indica? Because you know what, Imran, I know we didn't talk about it, but I wanted to end on a positive note and ask you about your Milan experience since you're here, and maybe get a little preview of the game on Thursday. But anything with Udinese you want to mention further with either the situation or the game itself?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. And like you said, you know, when such a situation occurs, there's a lot, you know, there are a lot of rumors, and there's, it can be a bit chaotic. There are a lot of not so reliable sources throwing information around, which can confuse the fans and general anyone listening to the news. So I didn't want to go public on Twitter in front of everyone, not having too much information. But in the WhatsApp groups that we are in, I wanted to, you know, clear some of the misunderstanding and worry based on what I saw, and I think that that helped you guys and the other guys that I was in contact with to feel a bit more at least reassured and relaxed that this was not a cardiac arrest or you know, the likelihood of having heart attack, which can of course never be ruled out, but we have to always try to get a clear picture of the situation, and I think we avoided a lot of rumors in our groups, which was good.
That's a good point. I overlooked him, and I'm glad you brought that up before we end off the Udinese talk. Yeah, it helped me. It helped me a lot. I'm glad we keep in contact. You know, we discuss obviously things of Roma, but things like this, I'm glad you reached out, and because all the reports out there, and I was even talking to Scott about this, there's just so many reports about him may have suffering a heart attack or a cardiac arrest, or like a lot of false reports that are coming out, and that's what journalism is these days. So I'm glad you're able, at least for me, I'm glad you're able to reach out and kind of ease the situation, because it's a scary sight, right? Although I don't know Indica personally, I mean, I watch the guy every weekend, so you build a connection with anything. If the team you love, you watch these guys every week, you want them to be in good health, you want them to be happy, of course. So it was. I'm really glad, Imran, you were able to put us at ease for that. And I kind of ignored all the reports that came out early, because they were just trying to be the first to try to get something to stick, and it just didn't work. It didn't end up being the case. So I'm glad it ended positively.
Of course, because you, like you said, it can be really scary. And there are also people I saw online on the social media. There are some Roma fans who also said that it was scary for them personally, because they have experienced one of the parents, you know, collapsing, passing away, and they witness that live. It can be very traumatizing for those people. So you always need to bring perspective and to any situation if you can. So yeah, I'm happy we did that. But we can, of course, speak about the Milan game, the one which was and the one which is coming up.
Yeah. Imran, I just wanted to, me and Scott did the review. We were over the moon with Milan. I want to end this off positively on the podcast. We were over the moon, but I just wanted to revisit it just for a couple of minutes. You actually went to the game, so I want to get your you know, I want to hear you about talk about it. How was the experience after Roma played such a great game, winning that game 1-0 off a Mancini header?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was like you said, it was a perfectly executed game. It was a much mature performance. I knew that somewhere deep down they had it inside of them to play like that, but you know, to come up with that tactical masterclass to neutralize Milan's left side, you know, you have to just hand it to De Rossi and his team, because I feared that left side. I thought that they would massacre us, and Celik, who has struggled against that left side of Milan early in the season, but that you know, playing El Shaarawy on the right, and him, El Shaarawy, playing like that, it was beautiful. And to be able to be there to witness it live, San Siro, you know, it was my first time in at San Siro. It's a magnificent stadium. It's like one of the stadiums on the bucket list. You just want to experience it, and to you know, having experienced that with a Roma win against Milan, it was a really nice experience, and I was really happy to walk away from the stadium after the game with that first leg win. It was a gorgeous experience.
I could just imagine. I've never been to the Milan Stadium. I've been to Italy a bunch, Imran, and I've never experienced the Giuseppe Meazza, as you know, for the nostalgics. I haven't been to the San Siro I've never been, so I've only really been to the Olympico, so it's definitely on the bucket list to go to for, I would personally see a Roma game versus either Inter or AC, but I'm glad you're able to see that performance. And the one comment I'll make, you know, with Celik is I think De Rossi did brilliantly by putting El Shaarawy. That to me, that was the biggest highlight. Like, even Pioli mentioned it, right? And I mentioned it last time with Scott. It's like, it was the best tactical move I think De Rossi has made. And the only thing, I like Celik. I'm a little bit of a supporter just because our other fullbacks aren't the greatest. And I think he deserves more time. I thought initially he struggled because I don't feel like he had enough support with him in the early stages when we played Milan. But having El Shaarawy just to help him, I think that was a brilliant move. I think he can handle it. Just I think Theo and Leao, you need support on that side. And when we ran the 3-5-2, I didn't feel he had much support. So brilliant move by De Rossi. What a mature performance. I'm glad you're able to witness it. And now we have our host, Scott, going to witness the second game, which is coming up in just 3 days on Thursday. So before we end off, Imran, how do you feel now going into Thursday's game against Milan? Are you confident? Do you think Roma can do it? Are they going to advance? What are your thoughts?
I'm curious to see how they will play. I think the first leg performance shows that they have it inside of them, that they can pull out a performance like that. I hope for an equally important and mature performance. But I know that Milan will be offensive. They will try something different. And now it remains to be seen how they will react. But I think... We we should have it inside of us to be able to punish them on the counterattacks. If we keep the possession in the same way, which I think we should, because we shouldn't hand them the entire initiative, which of course you sometimes is a natural progress of how the situation is when a team has to chase a goal. But I think we should be cleverer and be confident with possession like we were, because that was something which was noteworthy against Milan at San Siro. We were comfortable with possession. We didn't take too many risks. We didn't lose possession in important situations. And I think if we do the same, we should be able to progress. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm the same way. If we play like the first leg, I think Romo will certainly go through. That, like we mentioned about that game, the way they were in possession, Imran was brilliant. I mentioned a move last time that Roma made that I love so much, where if you can remember, Lukaku laid off to Dybala, who fed it through to Pellegrini, but he was just lacking a little bit of pace to get on the end of it. And Roma still had chances while not being overly exposed on defense. So if they play like that in the second leg, I mean, I'm quite confident they can go through. And I think Roma are up for the challenge. I really do believe they are. They seem to want to turn up on European nights for sure. And they're at home. I mean, home is, to me, there's always an advantage of playing at home. I think Roma have lost only 2 to 3 games at home all year. And we don't even need to win the game. You just need a draw. So to advance, I think Roma put themselves in a favorable spot to do so. I mean, it's very tough at the Olympico. I certainly think they can do it. I think all the starters are coming back. They were pretty much, a lot of them were well rested. I mean, obviously, because we had the incident, not many of the other players play much, but they should be just, you know, if they put everything behind them, what happened with Udinese, they should be ready to go. So yeah, Imran, just prediction. Do you think they're going through?
Yes, I think they have to flop big time in order for them to not progress from. They're in a very good position, and I fancy our chances.
Likewise, I'm more of, you know about me, I've mentioned it, that I like to be a little more on the negative side, especially after the last few years we've had, even though we made 2 finals, or, you know, we haven't really taken like the next step, especially in the league and against big teams, but now we're seeming to do so slowly but surely. But yeah, I echo the same thing, Imran. I truthfully predict them to go through. If they do not, I won't be entirely disappointed. Milan are a good team, you know, unless we get blown out or something. Milan are a good team, and we want a really tough away game. So that is impressive in itself. So
yeah, yeah, definitely.
Exactly. So I'm glad you're able to experience Imran, and I hope, and we both hope, they can make the semifinals. So they have tough games, Imran. So we talk about the schedule, right? So we got them, and then they have to focus Milan, and then Bologna, and then there's Napoli, Juventus. So this is really the tough stretch. And I think Roma are up for the challenge. I think if everyone can just stay healthy and they have a good, strong mentality coming from De Rossi that transcends from him, I think they can reach their goal, and starting with beating Milan on Thursday. So yeah, I think they're definitely up for the challenge. Imran, I think we pretty much covered it all. Is there anything else you want to add or say, anything about the incident with Ndicka or anything about Milan?
No, I think we're fine.
All right. Well, we'll wrap this up. Guys, thank you for listening to the latest episode of Magicast. You can follow us on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, etc., etc. I don't even know what other platforms we are on, but I'll definitely check that with Sam and Scott. But yeah, I'm sure all podcast platforms. And yeah, Imran, thanks again for doing this today. It was really nice to get another take, like I said, from your field of work on Ndicka. And it was great, you know, discussing your experience about Milan. I'm sure it was wonderful. So thanks again for joining.
Oh, thank you.
All right, guys, that's all from us. So hope you like the episode. Leave us a rating and review. You know, we try to make this a better podcast. So if you can leave us a 5-star or what you truly feel or any feedback, it'll be much appreciated. So yeah, that's all from us. Until the next episode. Thanks, guys. Take care. Ciao.
Ciao.